Welcome to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Today, Bram speaks with a very special guest who's on the front lines of ministry in war-torn Syria. Here's Bram to set things up for us.
Hey, thanks for that intro, Frank. I wanted to add a little forward to this particular program, an interview with a very special lady named Karen Eubank. You may recall a powerful interview we did last year with her husband, David, live from the front lines of the battle to liberate Mosul, Iraq, from the evil grip of ISIS. It is extraordinarily difficult to express the depths of the depravity of this death cult and how it tormented the people in lands where it conquered and still continues to oppress in enclaves across Syria and Iraq. Locals refer to them as Daesh, which is an unflattering conjugation of their own term for this imagined caliphate of theirs. Daesh means to trample down and crush. It can also mean a bigot, and both of these terms are undeniably fair descriptions of their hatred for humanity. Dave and Karen started an extraordinary outfit called the Free Burma Rangers, a highly skilled corps of ex-military forces from many countries. Though they are certainly capable of it, their job is not to fight wars, but to bind the wounds of war. Now, while I was on the phone with David last time, his team was dodging sniper fire and tank battles as the Iraqi army made its final assault into the heart of Mosul. The Free Burma Rangers pulled survivors from the rubble while we listened in. A good portion of our talk was devoted to honoring the fallen within his own team. Just days before the interview, one of David's closest friends, interpreter and new disciple of Jesus from a Muslim background, had been gunned down while trying to rescue children. The emotion and pride in David's voice was raw, and it was powerful. It was an unforgettable experience for me to enter into that story. Sadly, that same kind of tragedy has visited their team once again, in the supposed ceasefire zone of northeast Syria. In the turbulent wake of American departure from forward bases that were there to protect the minorities still being threatened by Daesh and the Turkish military, the Free Burma Rangers made the ultimate sacrifice yet again. This time, it was indiscriminate mortar fire from Turkish artillery during hasty evacuations of Kurdish women and children to new camps. When I caught up with them very early in the morning, Karen and her daughter Sue were heading back to the conflict zone to serve yet again and to help the Free Burma Rangers mourn their losses, encourage the weary, and again, to heal the suffering. There can be no better example of the thing we call the ministry of showing up than the Eubank family and the Free Burma Rangers. And with that in mind, we'll take you to the conversation with Karen Eubank on her way back to the war zone of northern Syria.
With me on the line right now is Karen Eubank of the Free Burma Rangers. Karen, welcome so much.
Thank you.
You are on your way right now between where and where?
I am on my way between America, and I landed in Doha, which is where I am right now, which is a big hug, on our way to Erbil, Kurdistan. And from there, we will join Dave and our team as they're working in Syria in the conflict area there in the Kurdish region.
Now, we became aware of your family years ago because of the way you were showing up in the world's conflicts. And nobody I know in modern times has quite taken on the risks you have to bring the gospel and the love and the compassion of Christ that close to people. Tell me why you're doing this, because nobody that I know in the world is.
Well, it started off many years ago. Our ministry first began when Dave and I responded to conflicts in Burma, where friends in villages who were being attacked asked us to come and help give encouragement and support, medical needs, physical relief, whatever we could offer, advocacy in terms of telling their story. And since they're friends, it was second nature to just go and help them. We've all experienced responding to the call to somebody that we love. And so fast forward 25 years later, responding to the needs of friends on the front line in Iraq and Syria is natural. Since we love them and care about them, we're looking forward to reconnecting with an emerging church in Kobani, with friends that we've met in Kamishli, Ain Issa, Mem Draka. All those places are places that we've had kids programs. We've put in playgrounds. We've gotten to know the civic council. We know friends in the SDF and look forward to seeing how we can help them. And so bringing our family is second nature because Dave and I felt we wanted to do our ministry together as a family.
Yeah.
That was the best thing we could offer our kids in terms of a life of following God very practically and educating them on the way with homeschool and with faith that boots on the ground. And just as you would approach every need that comes your way, whether it's ministry or just normal life, to do it together as a family, following the call God has put for us. And it just is a unique call that he opened up for Dave with his history in the military and his heart as a missionary. And I wanted to do what I could to keep us all together and make that happen. Obviously, many of God's miracles in my own heart and my own experience have brought that to a place that we are right now.
Well, the line between obeying God and following him to the mission field and being downright crazy seems to be a very thin line for your family. If I was looking at it on the outside and just saying, what were they thinking by dragging their children in the middle of conflict zones? I'm asking that as a rhetorical question because I know some of your answers to this. In your case, you just said you believe God was calling you to keep your family together, and that was supreme. Obviously, the fruits of that, what has come from that keeping the family together on the scene of these tragedies, these conflicts, and being the light of Christ together in those zones is really unusual. I'm sad to say that it is. But you are also providing a template for the kind of compassionate outreach that God, I think, is going to be calling more and more people to in the 21st century. Tell me about the current conflict you're in right now, Karen. We just heard horrible news this last week of some of your dear friends being attacked by the Turkish forces along the front lines. Why were they there? And what can you tell me about the situation that you and your husband will find yourself in when you get back to Syria?
Well, we had gone to visit our friend this spring in that region, which is the Kurdish-controlled region of Syria along the Turkish border. And after we left, things were relatively quiet. 4 days, 5 days later, the invasion of Turkey happened right across the border. They had been prodding and prodding, and finally, as soon as the U.S. forces left, Turkey did an all-out invasion into those areas that they felt were threatening to them, attacking and just causing havoc and destruction. So again, it was just second nature to go back since that's the place that God had opened for us. And we just naturally would respond. We can provide medical aid. We can help them to tell their story. We can get the news out for them. Mostly we can pray with them. We cannot solve this big problem. We can't control the politics. And honestly, we are citizens of heaven first before we are citizens of any nation. And God can open a way that no one else can open, first in our own hearts and then through our actions and then as people join together to affect a broader change. But even just showing up shows that something can happen, something of hope is possible in everybody's life. We don't know what that's going to be. I can't predict an outcome and I can't orchestrate a better solution. But just by showing up and saying that Jesus is with you, he hasn't abandoned you, and God will make a way. People come up with an amazing amount of creative solutions in their own situation. And if nothing else, God will strengthen their heart. That's the verse that I brought that says, I give you the hope that God is going to strengthen your heart for a new hope in a new day. And I'm wanting to be there with you and work it out with you.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. The second half of today's conversation is coming up right after this.
Hi, friends. Here's a quick update on our growth goals for the rest of 2019. To start with, a big thank you to all who responded to our summer challenge. We've grown our vision team larger than ever, and that means we can focus more on the ministry opportunities that are coming our way. We still have two important goals to reach this year in order to take on some faith-stretching and desperately needed projects in 2020. We'll be sharing a lot more about those in the days to come. The first goal is to grow our vision team by another 200 people. That simply means Compassion Radio becomes part of your regular, faithful mission giving, and at a level that the Lord enables you. I know that gifts of all sizes are exactly what the Lord uses to build His kingdom around the world. If you're on a fixed income or you run a large business, your giving matters to the Lord and to His kingdom servants. Your generosity makes it possible for us to bring you some truly amazing stories and news from the front lines of faith. Think of it this way. Compassion Radio makes it possible for God's courageous people around the world to bring you a daily gift of encouragement and inspiration. We invite you inside the greatest movements of God in the history of Christianity. They're happening right now. Is that worth something to you? I certainly hope so. It's our vision team members that literally keep us going day to day. You can be part of that team. Secondly, we've got a year-end budget challenge of $100,000 that we simply must meet in order to make sure we can continue on the station where you hear this program every day. I'm confident in you and the Lord's provision to make that possible. Our vision team is leading the way on this. If you haven't given in a while, would you consider joining them to meet this special appeal?
Friends, thank you so much for taking the special appeal to heart. We are truly so grateful for you.
To join the Compassion Radio Vision Team, go to CompassionRadio.com. That's CompassionRadio.com.
Hi, this is Carl Muller. You know, for over 30 years, I've been involved in ministry around the world. From Campus Crusade for Christ, now CRU, behind the Iron Curtain and in Central Asia during the last years of communism, to working with large and influential churches like Saddleback Church as a pastor to single adults, and also to leading global ministries like Open Doors with Brother Andrew, known affectionately as God Smuggler by many millions. Also as the head of Biblica, the International Bible Society, helping more people around the world have a copy of God's Word in their heart language. Ministry to me has been the opportunity to bless people who desperately need to know the truth of the gospel and hear the compassion of God's people and feel that compassion throughout their lives. I want to heartily endorse Compassion Radio for its innovative and far-reaching stories that capture the heart, that inform people as to what God is doing in the most difficult places around the world. I've had the opportunity to travel with Norm and Cher Nelson when Norm was host of Compassion Radio. We went to North Korea together. We went to the Middle East together. Having the opportunity to travel and to see firsthand what Compassion Radio does to tell the story of Christians around the world who suffer for their faith was amazing. And now with Bram and his team, I really believe that the tradition, the integrity, and the foundation of Compassion Radio is poised for an even greater season of growth. I heartily endorse them to you, and I pray that you would be blessed by the message of Compassion Radio in your life.
If we really love Him and seek His return, our hearts will burn for the lost.
If we really love Him and seek His return, our hearts will burn for the lost.
How can we speak of His coming when so many still do not know?
And now, back to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
When you face tragedy, you lose somebody who's maybe a new friend, or in your case this past week, you've lost one of your partners, one of your co-missionaries on the field doing this work. Mm-hmm. How do you process that, and how does it inform your faith when you deal with your own personal suffering?
Yeah, that is obviously the hardest when you suffer loss that you can't explain, or even if you can explain it, it's just painful, because if we didn't love so much, we wouldn't hurt so much.
Yeah.
And yet God made us love. He is love, and He made us to love people and have a relationship. And for this specific situation, I think there's many professions that deal with a lot of loss. So again, having your hope that you are in God's will, that He is sovereign, He has a plan, and that you're following it, and good and evil falls on everybody. Nobody is exempt from it. I just think that I, following Jesus, have tools to manage it, and I have a hope that's beyond what my human ability can give me. I was thinking today that my faith makes me more elastic. Mm. There are all kinds of situations that come at me, and with my own human resources, I would be much more rigid. But Jesus gives me the opportunity to stretch in different directions that I wouldn't normally do. And in dealing with loss, as I was saying, a huge part of our life, I was just reading through a book that we're putting together that talks about his early days with us.
Karen, let's go ahead and name the person that we're talking about now. You lost a key member of your team this past week to mortar fire from Turkey.
Right.
And his name is?
His name is Zhao Seng.
Zhao Seng. And he leaves behind a wife and a baby, correct?
Yep. Yep. Zhao Seng was so gifted in his contribution. And I guess for me, as I dealt with that grief, I was comforted by the fact that he loved what he did. He knew he was good at it. He was one of the best photojournalists that I've ever seen, capturing things on video that were amazing. I mean, aircraft and drones and things that you just hardly can see with a naked eye, let alone put on film. He knew he was making a contribution, so no regrets about where he was. And he'd actually done an interview that we had on video saying, I want to go. I look forward to being involved in this conflict. And I'm made for this kind of situation. I'm made for Warzone ministry, and why not? I feel compelled to share what I've been given. People came to Kachin State to offer help in a place when we were desperate, and I want to do the same for other people. And so I can't explain his loss.
And this book you're working on is to tell his story in the context of the greater mission, the kingdom work that you all do.
It's a book that Dave and our team staff, Jose and I, have put together about the Mosul experience.
Oh, yes.
And Zaofeng is definitely a part of that.
And I had a chance to talk with Dave when he was on the road into Mosul during that final assault. I understand at that time, you and your children were back at a triage center to help decide who was able to be helped, not just medically, but spiritually. And you're on full alert. You're doing prayer. You're doing first aid work. You're doing prep for surgeries. All kinds of things were happening in Mosul.
Yeah.
What was the most important work in your mind that you do in those situations that your husband, that Zaofeng gave his life for? What is the work that must be done for those who are suffering?
Well, I think everybody needs to come into every day of their work, whether they see it as dangerous or not. We just never know. Think of all the people in the World Trade Towers that were 9/11. They didn't know, and they may not have thought they were doing ministry, but you just can't predict your future. So I think we should all feel like we are serving the Lord every day in what we're doing. And I'm not a medical person. I'm a teacher. I love kids. I think my umbrella purpose is to be Emmanuel, just that I show up and say, even if it's just kindly giving things to people. And often I don't have a translator with me, so I can't communicate. But does an action produce love? Can I give out diapers or milk or formula in a sense of peace and love and joy and a smile? So that's the very base foundation of what I do. And then everything else beyond that is hopefully inspired. And at the point where I can speak on Jesus' behalf, we do kids programs where I can share five-color bracelets by Child Evangelism Fellowship that tell the gospel story from heaven being a place that God has for us all the way through our experience in the world of sin and his resurrection love to peace and new life. And I hope that that's something that I can share, whether we're visiting with people in their homes for dinner or whether we're doing a kids program or whether I am holding the hand of someone on the table in a clinic. I just try to be open. I think if you put yourself in a situation, the opportunities for help will be readily available.
And help for you to do the work, too. Tell me about what you expect to find when you get to Syria this time. Your experience over these past 25 years and the love you have for the people you're going to visit obviously informs you about what you will prioritize. What do you expect God's going to have you doing over the next weeks and months?
Well, I try to make it simple, and I'm supporting Dave's vision for Free Burma Rangers and the work. And so we have a team there. And I always expect, how can I support the team? And how, as we all work together, can we be unified and fluid and the living testimony as a team? And my kids are there too. We're homeschooling, and I'm trying to get the kids to go through their courses as well.
Yes. We have that struggle too, locally, because we homeschool our own children. So I understand that a little bit. I think you're under a little more stress while you're doing yours.
Right. I don't know. It's just, we have to be on game and have the books ready, because it's not like everybody is excited to sit down to algebra and
yes,
science and writing either. But anyway, it works out when we have meetings, but I don't ever know exactly what the schedule is going to be like. We expect there's visits with people that we've known and new friends, whether it's dinners or office visits, and sharing your vision, you're sharing your hope, and that you've come to be with them and you understand their situation. Sometimes there's opportunities for distribution where we can offer food supplies and medical relief supplies. Sometimes there's opportunities for a kids program. We can gather kids and sing and do some songs. Then there's times when it's just heavy conflict, and then there's a medical need. Mm. And again, it's me just sweeping up the floor or picking up debris or whatever is needed at the time.
Hi, Karen, if I can kind of wrap it up with just kind of a family moment. You talked about bringing your family right to the very heart of where God's doing his work, which happens to often be the same place where the world is going through its greatest pains. What do your kids get out of this? I mean, you spent 25 years raising your family, the entire sweep of your family. You still have a young boy at home with you, but all of your kids have been directly involved with this mission. What do they get out of being at your side and in the thick of things?
Well, I hope they get a sense of a family working together, and hopefully David and I modeling parenting and how to work together as a family, as a couple, as a team, and then the experiences that God has given us specifically for this mission. And again, like you see, God doesn't always give every family the exact same ministry. Mm, every family
true.
Is very distinct and unique. And so as they work it out, kids are going to see what's modeled. And I've told my kids, you don't have to do this your whole life. This is the best thing your dad and I can give you. This is the best thing that we have chosen to do with our life, and we're going to give you the best out of it. And then you take that and run with it. And maybe it'll be the same. Maybe it'll be a little different or a lot different, but I pray the principles are the same, that you'd put God sovereign over everything and you pray about everything and then let him guide you, and the opportunities he opens up for you will be unexpected and rich, and he'll be with you every step of the way.
And I know that Sue was able to represent you very, very well at the Pray for the Kurds event in Washington, D.C. about a week or so ago. Your other kids are older and younger. Can you tell me a little bit about what they're doing now if they're not with you at this time?
So my oldest daughter, Sahili, she's on a gap year between high school and college. And she has spent more time in Burma, which is our training camp, a bit like her backyard, where there's a preschool and a clinic and young rangers who are getting ready for a mission. And she's helped with the kids program there. There's horses and mules and likes to help with the vet aspect of that. And then Peter is in school with me. He's in eighth grade and working through his projects. He likes mountain biking and airsoft and all kinds of fun things that normal boys do.
Very good.
Yeah.
Regular mom stuff and regular family things in the middle of the world's greatest conflicts. It's an amazing story, and you keep living it out in beautiful ways. And we also want to reiterate here, if you could mention his name one more time, who do we celebrate and who do we mourn today from your team at Free Burma Rangers?
Yeah, Mr. Zhao Sang was our cameraman, and he was earlier a medic and just a headquarter team man for many years. And his wife, Lunu, and daughter, we pray for them and thank everybody for their prayers for our whole team that is trying to follow God's will to help all of these families who are there at the front line, especially.
All right. I know you get ready to get on your airplane shortly. It's going to be a next flight to get you closer to the action again,
yes,
to Erbil.
Sir.
So I won't hold you much longer. Can you also tell me one thing that we can be praying for the Syrian people? We know how to pray for you now, as you've mentioned, the needs and the hurts. How do you want us praying for the survivors of the attacks in Turkey and those who are stateless within the Kurdish communities?
Yeah, we need to pray for the Kurds there in this region of Syria because their situation is very desperate. They're a minority group. Minority groups have usually a very tough haul in this conflict between the government powers on either side. They're a bit of both. So we don't know how it's going to work out for those who have been in government to support the democracy initiatives that were started there that have now been...
Yes.
They're abandoned or very precarious at best. And just the families that they would find Jesus as a source of hope and strength and a new way for them in this situation.
Well, Karen, I can't think of anybody better equipped than the Eubank family to carry that torch to the middle of what would seem to be the most hopeless place on the planet right now.
Well, I think there's many people out there, so we pray for as many local organizations that are helping.
I know you're not alone on the field there, but you are unique in that. And we are very treasured to have you all as friends. And thank you for reaching out to us in the middle of all your turmoil of all the international travel you have to do to get from one place to the other. I look forward to the next time we can chat. Perhaps when you get settled into Erbil, we have a good connection there. We'll catch up again, and you can give me an update of what you find on the ground once you're there. Would that be possible?
Sure. Sure. Look forward to it.
Well, Godspeed to you all, and thank you so much. And please give our love today when you get to the field. And thank you to Sue as well for her willingness to carry the message between us. We look forward to hearing more about what God is doing in that part of the world, because God is at work. And I want to keep reiterating that point with our friends and our family here at Compassion Radio. You are not going to hopeless places. You are going there because there is hope. And I want to get that message across. Karen Eubank from Free Burma Rangers, thank you so much for giving us just a few minutes of your time on the way back to northern Syria and Iraq.
Thank you so much, Grim. And we are boarding or getting ready to, so that's perfect timing. You are so efficient. God bless you all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you missed anything today, well, you can listen again anytime. Just open up your browser on your computer or smartphone or even your tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. You know, when you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And now second, would you please share this broadcast with a friend or a loved one? This is going to help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And really, that's all of us, you and I. Finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. You can give a one-time gift, a semi-regular gift, or you can become a Compassion Radio Vision Team member. And that means a regular monthly gift for the amount of your choosing. You know, this ministry is 100% listener-supported, and that means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. That's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. You can also text the word COMPASSION to 53445. That's the word COMPASSION to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio at P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen, spend a little time with us. Be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.